Welcome to Leadership Matters, a podcast hosted by me, Steve Parker. This is a series that brings a fresh perspective to leadership motivation and how to succeed by talking to a diverse range of CEOs, business managers, and world-class talent. We also offer some personal tips to help you in your career. Each episode aims to provide a snapshot into the life and philosophy of some of Taiwan and the world's most successful leaders, and to find out more about why leadership matters. Really, really happy to have Sean Blakely in the studio today. Sean Blakely is a partner at Samuel PwC in Korea. He's a 15-year resident of Korea. He's well known to the BCCK, that's the British Chamber of Commerce in Korea, members. He was the chief executive when I met him. He did that job for about 6 years. Prior to that, he was a consultant for Google. And before the chamber, he was a director of business development for a Korean publishing company. And he was also the managing director of a British consulting company. He started with the chamber in 2015, the same year that I started with the chamber, and we kind of grew up together, young lads growing up together. Sean has also completed a master's program at Seoul National University in international relations. He speaks Korean fluently. He tells me he does. We'll test that later. And during his career, Sean has he's consulted for companies throughout his career through PwC, through the chamber, across a number of sectors, but it's primarily, I think, he's been focused on technology. That would be fair to say, Sean, yeah?
That's right, yeah.
The first thing I want to talk about is you're at work, you're wearing a T-shirt. This is kind of the new paradigm now, isn't it? Work is pretty casual. You work for an international company, it's PwC, but it's pretty casual.
Yeah, so I think, it's interesting. So I think the perception of our organization, you know, we have lots of different service areas. You know, we have corporate finance, we have tax, we have audit, and then we have advisory as well as consulting. And my side is the advisory consulting side. So, you know, of course, even within our own company, you have different, you know, kind of subcultures. But I would say generally, our focus has been in the last few years really to match the times, right? We don't have fixed offices. So we hot desk even as partners. We have our own set of rooms that we hot desk in because, you know, there's quite a lot of private information that we're looking at on our laptops or lots of moments where we need space to have a private meeting. But nonetheless, we book in our rooms in the morning. You know, there are occasions, of course, where we wear a suit and tie, especially if we have an external meeting or conference or a particular client that, you know, expects that of us. But, you know, there's a greater emphasis these days on wearing things that are comfortable, you know, being able to, you know, not to be too sort of stuffy in our approach, not just in what we wear, but in how we conduct our business as well, because, you know, we are a thought leadership type of company, right? We want to reflect what's happening in the market and in the culture. And, you know, frankly, as you know, it's 36 degrees right now outside. You know, if I was wearing a shirt and tie and a blazer, it'll be hard to work effectively, you know, if I'm sweating in the corner of a room, you know, just hating life because, you know, I've got a suit and tie on. So I think it's also just a practical point. So, yeah, so today looking a little bit more sporty than maybe 5-10 years ago the company might have looked.
I mentioned a little bit about what you've done at the beginning. You went to Korea and you've worked for a number of organizations. You worked for a Korean publishing company, then for a British company. You took over the chamber, and now you're working for PwC. How do you see a line joining all of these things?
You know, it's interesting when you plot a person's career path back. You know, when you plot it back, I think it's quite somewhat easy to build a narrative and a line that looks like, you know, my journey to Korea was this well-intended strategic plan to arrive in 2004 when people didn't really know anything about Korea, learn the language, learn the working culture, and just ride the wave of Korea's kind of emergence into, you know, the top 10 economies in the world, but also, you know, in terms of popular culture, maybe even number one right now, just or maybe number two behind the United States, right? So, and then if you look at my career, sort of you can plot a similar sort of retrospective trajectory, but actually it's not was really never by design, you know, but if there is a link between all of them, it's that I've always acted as a, you know, essentially a kind of bridge between the two cultures. And it sounds quite corny, but you know, there are lots of people, especially foreigners, I think, that profess to be a bridge between the two cultures, but I think there are very few that have legitimately, you know, sort of immerse themselves in the culture the way that I did, because I didn't begin in an international company. I began in a local company. And then I didn't, you know, study Korean in the UK or, you know, and then come here. I came here and studied. You know, I was the sole recipient of a Korean government scholarship back in 2009, where I think pretty much I was, you know, one applicant of one. You know, that wasn't the most popular place to come at the time. And, you know, so I think I've been quite unique in my ability to be, if anything, sort of stronger on the Korean side of the bridge than the UK side. But whilst, you know, having that local immersion, not lost my ability to, you know, understand and accommodate the needs of international companies, right? So now I find myself in an international, huge multinational British American company, but at the same time, you know, without my local knowledge, understanding, language, would not be here, right? So I think the sort of unique point is that, and that's kind of been the case everywhere I've gone. So yeah, maybe that would be the main point.
I think this is really interesting, bringing up this point about, you know, you talk about being a bridge between Korea and the rest of the world, essentially. But, you know, in large part, perhaps the UK. I guess my point being here is I want to kind of ask you a question about this, because I don't think you can force a career out of, like, if you'd started 14, 15, 20 years ago and said, well, I'm going to become a bridge, and I'm going to do everything I do from now on will be to develop this kind of bridge capacity. Mm. You know, I think in a sense you become the history, right? You become the history of kind of what you've done. You know, collectively you've become all of these things, and now you have this ability to do this stuff because you were focused on learning what you wanted to learn at the time.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think there's sort of two sides to that point, though. I would say, yes, you're right. I never, you know, if I look at the big sort of moments, decisions, let's say first the decision to come here, you know, was rather fortuitous, had an opportunity to work here, had been to Asia traveling before, was very young, new graduate, not in a job, in a graduate position in the UK that didn't really love, although, you know, most people at the time would have been happy to stay there. And then was a sense of adventure, right? So that was the first, so certainly no big strategy there. But at the same time, you know, friends of mine had been to Japan. China was already on the map for everyone. And Korea was this kind of place that nobody knew about. And I had studied a little bit about the Korean War. So I chose Korea because others weren't going there. So I think I had, and then when I came here, you know, I then studied the language, not because everyone told me that's a really strategically smart thing to do. In fact, nobody told me that was a smart thing to do. If anything, they told me, go and study Mandarin, right? Or study Japanese. Like, why would you study? There's only two countries that speak Korean. One of them is North Korea, and hopefully you're going to have no need to go there. And the second one is South Korea, which everyone speaks English in. So why is it you're doing this? And not only that, I did my master's in international relations here. And that was, again, you know, I just wanted to do it. I was just interested in political economy. But at the same time, I always had my eye on this idea that what I was doing was certainly rare and was ultimately, hopefully, going to be some sort of niche and that I could build something out of it. So I think, you know, I was conscious that what I was doing was adding value to me, and maybe one day that should lead to something. Like, for example, I was considering becoming a diplomat. That's why, you know, so international relations made sense to me. So I was doing it with, you know, some intent in mind, but never really clear that I was going to end up at PwC, for example. But at the same time, when I graduated, I moved into a consulting company rather than another position because I thought, oh, there will be growth in this area. So I think I followed my interest and my passion, but not without some strategy, if you know what I mean. It wasn't completely sort of pure kind of passion choice. There was a strategic element to it, but at the same time, never really clear on where that might lead me.
I just wanted to kind of summarize some of the things that we've talked about, if you don't mind, and maybe get your kind of final perspective on some of these. I mean, from the very start, we talked about work has changed now. It's much more casual. It's definitely, and I think maybe COVID has contributed to that, but certainly with hybrid working and working from home, and there's less emphasis on kind of the, you know, wearing the suit and stuff like that. Careers, you know, even though we can see a narrative at the end of our career or at a later stage in our career, you know, don't be tied to a narrative. but also the narrative will write itself as we kind of go through our lives. You can't force the future, but nonetheless, find your niche, find your passions, follow your interests. Learn about where you're going to be working and spending your life. Sean, I feel like today could be a book, and I think maybe we'll have to work on that for our next challenge.
Yeah. Well, I've super enjoyed it, mate, honestly, as I said. And thank you very much for inviting me. And yeah, if anyone reads this and or listens to this and watches this, you know, and sees me on LinkedIn, always happy for people to reach out, always happy to have a chat, because I was 20 years ago the same young kid. There was no LinkedIn. There was nobody really to reach out to. So, you know, always open to connecting with people. So thanks again for inviting me.
Sean Blakely, thanks for your time today. You can listen to this podcast live on the fourth Monday of every month on ICRT, and after that on the ICRT website, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Leadership Matters by Stephen Parker. You can also check out my social media. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. We'll see you next time.